On our podcast this week, Oklahoma U.S. Senator James Lankford, good to talk with you. Some news this week, a retirement on the Supreme Court is coming, and that will change a few things, and I know there are already some potential nominees out there.
Yeah, that will definitely change a few things in the court itself. So hello to you as well. Actually, this time I could talk to you actually from glorious frozen tundra of Oklahoma.
Excellent.
To be able to be home this particular week and travel around the state. But there's an enormous change. There's been something the progressives have been pushing for Stephen Breyer to retire. They want to be able to replace him. He is definitely liberal in the court, but has also been kind of a pro-business, pro-free market economy liberal that's on the court. And so progressives, from the time that Biden came in, have been trying to be able to push him out. They literally are driving trucks around the city with a sign on it that says "Retire Breyer," and just driving that around Washington D.C. all the time, trying to be able to find him and to be able to push him out. So it's pretty unheard of to be able to try to push out a Supreme Court justice, but they've done it. He's now caved and he's retiring, and so there'll be a pretty big switch that'll happen. Probably about 4 or 5 months total in the process. The president's got to actually make a selection. They'll actually come to the Senate. Every single senator, myself included, will sit down with that nominee. We'll have their time to be able to ask questions of them. They'll go to the Judiciary Committee. They'll do a week's worth of hearings, and then it'll come to the Senate floor and go through the process. So it's a long process to replace someone, but it is someone coming up for a life appointment, and so it typically takes a long process.
Very good. I'm glad you gave us the time frame on that, as it appears it will be right now. Speaking of the president, the last week marked his first year in office. It has been some year.
Well, boy, has it been some year on this. We've had chaos on our southern border. We had 2 million people have illegally crossed our southern border. That's the highest number ever in the history of our country that's been tracked. We've had record inflation. We have a 7% inflation. That's the highest it's been since 1982. We have obviously what's happened in foreign policy and the chaos around Afghanistan and how that was handled. We have increasing crime across the country as there's been this push on law enforcement. So it's really been quite a year that a lot of people did not expect. I was one of those folks raising my hand and saying, hey, Biden is saying he's going to be the moderate, but he's going to try to run as the progressive here once he actually gets in, and he definitely has. And he's worked very hard to be able to reshape the country. And we felt the economic effects of that, foreign policy effects of that, and the crime effects of it. And so it's going to be important that we continue to be able to push policies to be able to put in place to say, how do we actually enforce the law and to be able to represent our country well?
Well, it sounds like if there's a watchdog on all this, it's the United States Senate.
You know, really the Senate has been the place that you get a chance to do the greatest amount of oversight, because the Senate is the place where you have the filibuster. It's where the minority voice is always protected. That's been the nature of our republic for 2 centuries now, is that people have a voice in the Senate, regardless whether the majority or the minority. And that helps provide real oversight and a real pushback to the administration, where they've got to be able to work with both sides. Thankfully, we were able to keep that. That was a big fight last week, where Schumer and the Democrats decided they wanted to be able to take down the filibuster as well, and to say we're not going to have any place in our government where the minority has a voice. If you're in the majority, you can run over the minority. That's not been true of our republic for 200 years. Thankfully, it's still not. We were able to beat that back last week.
And that was a politicized issue, mainly because of what it was potentially going to be tied to, and that was the changing of the election laws. The Republicans have come under fire about this, but I think it's just because your side is trying to make sure those who aren't allowed to vote, because they're not supposed to be able to vote, don't vote. Does that make sense?
Yep. That does make sense, and it's actually the folks that do vote, their vote actually gets counted. So Democrats have been running this theme for the past several months, saying, states all over the country are trying to suppress voters. We need to protect voters. And so their idea was they want to federalize all elections, and that the Attorney General of the United States will have oversight of every election in the country and will run every election. And they're going to change the election laws in every state to match what they want in Washington, D.C. for that. And their statement is, we have to do this because states like Oklahoma are suppressing voters. What they mean by that is, we passed a law last year in Oklahoma that said if you're going to request an absentee ballot, you have to request that absentee ballot 15 days before the election, so that we'll have time to mail it to you and you'll have time to mail it back. Previously, it was 7 days before the election. So what Democrats said is, The crazy conservatives in Oklahoma are making it harder to vote. Instead of being 7 days before the election, it's 15 days before the election. But what they wouldn't say is the reason that change was made by our state legislature was because the United States Postal Service asked us to make that change. The United States Postal Service said, hey, 7 days is not enough to be able to mail a ballot out to people and mail it and get back in time to be counted. If you want that ballot to be counted, it's got to have 15 days to get mailed out to people. They fill it out and mail it back in, so they want to protect it. But the Democrats in D.C. called that voter suppression for Oklahoma. What's really funny about that is all it is protecting the rights of every vote to count, and the state of New York passed the exact same law last year, exactly the same, and they don't call it suppression in New York. They only call it suppression in Oklahoma. So that's the kind of stuff they just run with. They just say, hey, this is voter suppression. All these states are doing voter suppression, and they throw that out there. But they don't give you the details of what they really mean and how absurd that accusation really is. Let's make it easy to vote. Let's make it hard to cheat, and let's make it easy to verify an election when it's done so we don't have the chaos of elections like we've had the past 25 or 30 years, all the way back to Al Gore's election with George Bush. Well, let's make it really easy to verify elections so we don't have that kind of chaos.
Yeah, and it's a state-to-state thing because, as I understand it, it's always been a state-to-state right on elections. It's not been the federal government's job. It would be unconstitutional, technically, right?
That is correct. So the states actually do the election law. The one area that we have constitutionally is protecting the rights of individuals to vote.
Mm-hmm.
That is a federal oversight area, and that is still intact. Democrats, again, in D.C. said that our states are suppressing votes and there's no protection. That is patently false, and they know it. Every federal court in the country can step into any election and to be able to protect the integrity of that election while it's going on. If any precinct, any state, any county start suppressing people's votes and start making it hard for people to vote, if they do the Jim Crow laws and all the things in the past, every federal court already has the ability to do that since the Voting Rights Act was passed in 1965, and it is still the law of the land. The Voting Rights Act is still there. It still protects the rights of every individual in our federal courts and make sure that they can step in and protect the integrity of our elections.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is an absurd claim that they're laying out there that somehow people are trying to be able to suppress votes. They're just trying to be able to spin people up and so they can change the rules of the Senate and then do everything else they want to do.
The filibuster is not a new thing either. That's another point about all this. And again, as we mentioned a moment ago, that's been spun, Senator, into political football too.
It has, actually. The filibuster has been around since the earliest days of the Senate, protecting the rights of every single state and of every single senator to be able to speak out. In the earliest days, the other 12 states were afraid of Virginia because Virginia had the biggest population, had a lot of power and economy, so they were afraid of Virginia. So they wanted to be able to put something in place to be able to protect the rights of every other state to make sure they got a chance to be able to speak out as well. The rule has been changed over the past 200 plus years, but it's always been changed with a consent of the senators, that they've come in both parties, they've debated it, they've talked about it, they've made the change together on it. What Schumer was trying to do this time was to be able to just unilaterally change the rules of the Senate and to say, nope, we're a majority now, so we're going to change it. It's kind of like a football team being ahead at halftime, and when you come out of the locker room saying, okay, since we're ahead, we're going to change all the rules for the second half and protect our rights to stay ahead by the end of the game. It's like that's not how it works. You've got to be able to protect the rights of both and keep the rules fair and consistent.
We're obviously, Senator, still dealing with COVID-19, and I know you were happy about the Supreme Court's decision to stop the vaccine mandate on private businesses with over 100 employees.
Yeah, that's one I've been fighting for. In fact, I wrote help in that writing of the amicus brief that actually went to the Supreme Court to be able to make that argument. So we've been very, very engaged. There's actually five different vaccine mandates that are out there. We've won three of them so far in the courts. We've got two more to be able to go. So it's for federal workers, federal contractors, and private employers. They don't have a vaccine mandate anymore. That's been set aside. We still have to be able to work on those that work with Medicare and Medicaid and those folks that are in the military. And as of yesterday, even, I was communicating back and forth with the Pentagon working on this issue of the military because they have so far not allowed any religious exemptions for our members of the military. Though there have been thousands and thousands of requests for religious exemptions, they're just ignoring all of them and just unilaterally saying no. They can't do that. They can't just say, I'm sorry, your faith doesn't count on this. they've got to have some ability to be able to have their faith also protected on it. So we're continuing to be able to fight through the process to be able to make sure those rights are protected for the members of the military and for those in CMS as well.
Our time is up for today, but I know the legislative calendar is full, and if folks who want to contact you asking a question or perhaps getting some opinion on some things, they can do that real easily through your website, and you have email and that sort of thing.
Yep, sure can. Yeah, just go to langford.senate.gov, langford.senate.gov, and if you go to that site, you'll be able to find all the details about how to contact by email, by phone call, even an address if you want to snail mail us a letter and use a stamp. So all of that's there. You can also sign up for our electronic newsletter that we send out once a month, and then we'll send that to you. It has all the details of what's happened, what's about to happen in the legislative branch, and we go through great detail on that. And so if that's helpful to you, you want to be able to do that, and we have thousands and thousands of people that have that every month to be able to get that update, just go to langford.senate.gov. You can sign up there. Media, at all the social media, at Senator Langford. Whether that is Twitter, Facebook, Getter, whatever you're on, it's at Senator Langford.
Very good. We appreciate the time, Senator, and stay well. Thanks for the visit.
Bless you all as well. Stay warm and well.